Okay, call our meeting back to order. Do we have any administrative or departmental?
I have the Title III stuff.
Sorry, Donna. We already voted on it.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's not? Okay. What would you like to talk to, come up to Mike?
Hey, let me just come up here a moment and I'll be happy to tell you. I spent a lot of time reading. There's two different websites to read. Is the United States Federal Forestry, and then the FireWise Community website is where I got all my information. And then I talked to U.S. Forestry. And what I've come up with is that when the legislation was written, it kind of created a circular problem in that to use the funds, you have to be able to form a committee. You can use the funds to create the committee. You have to have in that committee, or community, I'm sorry, not committee, community, you have to have $2 per capita. So, for instance, if Mark Twain School District has 1,000 residents, then they have to be able to spend $2,000 on a project.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Right.
Right, that's the minimum. And then they have to, or they have to create the plan and have the committee and hold what's called a FireWise Day. A FireWise Day is no more than having a picnic with some signs and some explanation of how to take care of your land that's near the national forest and or on the national forest. So it created kind of a circular problem that I found a way for us to work with. And I have a letter put together explaining it. And once they get that done, there are several things that it can be used on, including thinning, pruning trees, removal of trees, clearing on private property. So let's say you have a subdivision somewhere near the national forest, and you want to hire a, what do you call those machines that can clear out trees and stuff. So you can form a community with your neighbors and create this FireWise community. And in doing so, can spend the money on this. Now, there is a requirement for the county, and that is each February we have to report. So we have to kind of hold them accountable in that they have to file the plan with us and explain to us how they're going to use the funds. I think as far as we're concerned, if they complete the plan, tell us how they're going to do the plan, and we give them the money and I do the report on how that's to be done, I think that ends our responsibility, but they could be federally audited.
One of the FireWise, you know, with the change in the administration and change in the program, one thing is water improvement for the fire districts. So I know Bradleyville Fire District was trying to get some improvements done. There's a way, looks like, that we can use some of that money for them. So we need to, we had to be more creative, but there, at least Donna has found some ways to be creative, I guess.
Why couldn't we do a lake access like we did in other areas, and you have a water resource?
You can. I mean, there's a lot of creative ways.
Accountability to issue the funding for.
What you have to do is create, though. You have to create this FireWise
community
group. Then they make the plan, and we just have to help walk them through the process. It's the brand new process, but we can be creative that way. Yes, and it's 50,000.
Right now, we have $52,123.62.
So that's ways to use that money. That would both help the, you know, that community and help the lake access too, for example, for water supply, for pumpers.
From what I heard you both say, I didn't hear anything that sounded like the school would have much opportunity to get it, but more fire departments, is that right or wrong?
A school district can be a FireWise community. Let's say you have 1,000 people in Bradleyville School District. And so then you would have to spend $2,000 on a project that fits into the FireWise. And I only listed a few here, but you can research that website to find other projects. As long as it falls under that FireWise community
on that thing. They even list some other projects.
Well, there's roads are mentioned in there if you wanted to improve.
Retrofitting of home roofing or siding to non-combustible materials on a private property. Managing private forest. Community/pickup. We could have a community can set a trailer out there to dump trash in it. You can hire a vehicle to go plow down all the trees on your property or properties that are near the national forest, dump in that bin, and that's a qualification.
We just have to be creative. So yeah. I think Donna's saying is, you know, she's found some ways that we just need to take some action on what to do now.
I think, though, that what they're saying is you have to spend money to get money, basically.
No, that's what it sounds like, but it's not. In actuality,
okay, you got to have $2
to create the Firewise community. You have to be able to spend $2 per capita.
Minimum.
This village has 100 people in it.
Minimum.
Right. Okay. This village has 100 people. They want to form a Firewise community. We have more than enough money that we could give them for $2 per capita to create the Firewise community. They also have to complete a community assessment plan and create the plan, and then they have to have a Firewise day. So they apply, we give them the money, they do the project, they're done.
Okay. What I want to ask you about is we've been doing that exact same thing, except they haven't formed their committee. When we talk with Mark Twain Schools and we use their parking lot in an intergovernmental agreement to store chips and salt and things like that for roads in the area, if they form a community, because in the trade they have a pickup of certain county roads that they clean trash up on, and I mean, it's wrote right in the agreement. Same way with Bradleyville. They already have a trash pickup on certain roads and all those kind of things. So what they need to do is form a committee with those particular roads and emphasis on those roads,
right.
And then we can distribute the funding to them. Is that the way you see it, Donna?
Yes. And the way it was before, Danny, the plan that you're talking about, that was a requirement of the commission. That was not a requirement of the statute.
I know, but
it's now that the statute requires that.
We can use it now.
Yeah. So, for instance, X community decides to do it. They apply. I've got the application forms. They apply to become a Firewise community. They have to have a plan, and they have to have a board. So that board determines how that money is going to be spent in that Firewise community. And we can give them money to meet all the requirements to become the Firewise community. That's why I say it's a circular problem. They have to create the Firewise community, but we can give them money in advance to create the Firewise community. Make sense?
Not much, but we'll use it.
We'll live with it, huh?
I put you together a letter like you requested, and I haven't had a chance to tweak it this morning, but you're welcome to have it. That's a copy of the form to complete. Any other questions?
This is a suggestion or something we could send to the different political subdivisions.
Right. And we can use the newspaper to kind of get the word out there, and I can certainly give him a copy of that. This is what I downloaded off the website, off of the Firewise website. So that gives you all the rules. And I have a fax and question and answer form as well. So you asked for a letter, so I kind of put this together.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Could we ask you to do one other thing? Could we ask you to send a copy of that letter and this information to the superintendents of Bradleyville, Mark Twain, and all other schools that are affected by this law.
About the fire district.
The fire district as well. Anybody that is a participant.
Okay. I'll be happy to do it.
Okay.
Do you want to tweak the letter, or are you good with that?
Very...
I didn't have a chance to tweak it this morning. I'd be in trouble.
I'll look at it. I mean, I read it once, I think.
Okay.
Well, we're not. Shall we stall this till later? We're not actually posted. I don't know that we need to be.
You are posted.
Are we?
Yeah, and we're actually moved to today. We're going to do this on Wednesday.
Right, the 8:30.
Today, and so it's all part of the Title III. And I don't really need a motion, but I was asked to create a letter and get you the information.
Only a couple things I would add is the website, because obviously this is a sample of what's out there. But, I mean, it basically gets them opportunity to let them know that there's a way to utilize the money, so.
Yeah, I can get the websites. I should have put that on there.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you can always put the commission phone number. They can talk to us if they have questions, too.
Donnie, anyway. For the news media, is Bradleyville, Cedar Creek, and Pro Tem, are those the ones that are affected by... I know Forsyth and Taneyville have a portion.
Forsyth has Cedar Creek. Taneyville has a very little bit, but they still have some.
So those, all those entities and then their fire districts would be one.
Yeah, I have a percentage broke down by each political subdivision on how much area they have in the National Forest area.
Yeah, okay.
So commissions agree, and Donna, go ahead and put sites on there and go for it, send it out to those folks?
I think so. I mean, it starts the process.
Sounds good to me. Got three nods.
There you go.
All right,
thank you.
All right, how about we look at zoning recommendations? Ready to do that?
I am back here today because at our last meeting, it was decided y'all needed to have an executive session you weren't posted for. I'm assuming that you've had that meeting, and that's why I'm back.
All right.
So here I am.
Okay. Any questions or comments to start with?
I think one, just following up from last meeting, which was one of the questions was, how much have we spent with Aegis regarding the land use contract? It came out of two departments, it looks like, some in the 114 line item in the commission, and then the other one came out of the 130 line item, which is planning and zoning. So, and this is not to be confused with the transfer station work or any of the sewer work. So this is the two projects. Now, what I don't have is line item invoicing, but it all, the timeline matches up to when we executed this contract last year. From the commission professional services line item, we have spent to date $77,300. And that was all in 2009. Once again, I don't have those invoices pulled. The other line item, which is professional services, which is, falls under planning and zonings, that we have spent to date $19,634.50. And it appears, if you add those up, it doesn't appear, if you add those two up, the total spend has been $96,934.50. And that is over, there's some that were backed out in February and March, so I think that this is the correct area. So, once again, that looks like what we've spent. Now, one thing I was going to ask you, gentlemen, is there any other work that we have done for, that Aegis has done for us, regarding anything else other than what we're talking about? Any other projects, had they contracted for the commission for anything else? Can you think of?
Well, they've done work on T Highway Sewer, the
right.
Transfer station.
You know what they also have done that we didn't, that may be in here, and I'd have to find out, which would be when they did some air quality sampling downstairs.
That's right. That's under the Aegis name.
That would be under the Aegis name. So I'm going to say that number may not be total. That may be. I know it's not more than that. It may be less than that, though. Eddie?
In 2009, my line item, where you have a total of $19,000, was quite... showed up quite a bit more than that on my budget. Now, I don't know if it's been reassigned to other places since that time or not, but when I was going over this originally, I had a phone call from Rick Finley, the auditor, somewhere around September of last year, asking me to okay an invoice, and it was, at that particular time, I was thinking it was around the $60,000 to $80,000 range, which I sent back to you guys, but it did show up on that budget line in my budget.
There was a $60,000 invoice back in August of 2009.
So that figure looks light as opposed to what I've seen on my budget line.
And your P&Z line, I'm just letting you know, there's been $21,000 backed out since March of 2010 of what it shows.
That I don't have that in front of me, but I just remember it being more than that. But I thought the total spent with them on this particular project had was around $80,000 to $96,000, which is what the total comes up to be. But I thought most of that had already hit our budget in 2009, if I wasn't mistaken. But.
I'm going to see if I can't find the old invoice we had for them. But anyway, that was one thing we had to. I think Danny or Chuck or somebody had asked, how much have we spent with them? And that's all I've got there.
The other one thing that I was on my mind was, when we talked before, I think, was the possibility of using someone outside of Aegis on a temporary type help.
Yes, sir.
Did you research that, whether they're available or have any?
Of course, we mentioned two different people here. I did not contact the person in the IS department at this particular time because they are on staff, and if that's the case, I didn't think we would be using them outside of the regular work hours or anything like that. The other individual I did contact, and while he does not have the freedom now to do what we would have liked to have done last year, he would be interested in either formatting and that kind of thing if we want to pursue that. So from my perspective, I think it would behoove us to have somebody who is very adept in the formatting because our code book is interactive and making sure that everything is linked correctly, that kind of thing. My office will be mostly responsible for content, I think, make sure that we've got everything covered. So
was there any talk of what his hourly contract would be, or how I
really hesitate to go
okay,
into that
that's
until
fine.
Until you know, I because we can involve a lot of time.
How much time is he available? I mean, is he available two
if
hours
a week?
If
something
that would
have to be done in the evenings,
so maybe it'd be available 10 hours a week, or
I would think at least 10 hours a week wouldn't be overtaxing to anybody like that, somewhere between 10 and 20, depending on the extent of what we do, it may drag on for several weeks, but the possibility is that we could have a lot of stuff already kind of written and to hand to an individual where they could sit down and do that and everything. But,
the advantage would be you'd have second fresh eyes looking at what was happening.
That is correct.
Plus the time spent would be saved in your work. It would make the project come along quicker.
I believe it would, yes, sir. You know, our goal, of course, is to incorporate this into our existing code book and keep it as, as non-intrusive, I guess, as possible. But to make it as seamless as possible, and so doing, when you start expanding things like this, sometimes they tend to want to overlap, and you have to correct some other issues, things like that. But having a second set of eyes look at that as you go is always a benefit, and our staff will review what we're doing also. But,
well, look, I guess in the discussion that you're having, are you talking about the discussion of not we've bounced around our issue, and I don't want to go where the commission. Are you talking about maybe not using who we've hired for the extent of the contract, or for the portions of the contract, or what are you talking about here? Because I have a hard time comprehending that there's only one person in the county that can do the job. That doesn't make a bit of sense to me. The other thing is that is the commission's not thinking about using professional services to do this?
I think the question that Eddie's asking is, or we're asking Eddie, is we've now got the districts. What is the fastest way to start getting this done? There's two ways to do it. We can either find someone who's familiar with our existing code book, and that will help meld to a good solution, or do we hire an outside engineering firm who's not as familiar with our code book, and then they have to learn first our code book and then make changes? Because the biggest concern, I think, that I'm hearing from Eddie over the months of talking to him about this is that if we have someone who's not familiar with our code book, they're going to introduce something completely not normal to us. And we're not trying to shock all of our citizens. We're just trying to get ours to conform, if I'm not mistaken.
I appreciate what you said. You're right on, I think.
So I think that's where we're at this crossroads, is because the previous individual used to work in PNC, very familiar with the code book, and he would be able to say, we make these changes, it makes us legal, but doesn't impact the citizens as much as someone who is not familiar with our code book, and we'd have something that regulates chickens.
If I make a suggestion, you know, to somebody who's already familiar with the code, they can go, hey, you forgot about this, or, you know, you didn't catch this, and that's just mistakes we want to avoid. We want to be able to, when we're done with this, say, here it is, and feel like we're at least, you know, 90% accurate on what we've got, and it's not going to have to be torn all apart again, you know, to that, and you know, through a review process that would, and could leave you starting over from scratch again. So, and I think that's what we originally were looking, or hoping for, was some kind of a drop-in replacement, and just weren't able to get that at that time.
And if I could modify what you said just slightly, and that is, from our experience, we don't expect that to happen.
Correct.
Because of what you said, that people aren't familiar with our code like we are.
Right. It's just a learning curve.
Me personally, plus they're not familiar with the area, which I think you mentioned that also.
Right.
Not saying that there's not some firm out there that could come in and do it, but just from our experience, we're very pessimistic that would be the smoothest, best way for everybody, our citizens.
I think in the sake of time, you know, we can bring outside firms in and stuff like that, but there is a huge learning curve just to learn the nuances of what we do.
Let me, I'm going to jump back just because it's fresh and I can go to a different screen here. We were sent an email many months ago from Joanna in June of this year, June 10th, and she broke down what we've paid Aegis based off the contract, based off the phases. So we have completed. We've paid them for all of Phase One.
How about
$69,650? And it because the way we pay checks, you know, we write one check that may have four projects on it. So she broke it down based off check number and how much of that check went to the project. On Phase Two, we've paid $3,350. Phase Three, we've paid $3,350. And based off of what I'm seeing, Phase Four, we have paid $11,834.50. So I'm sure the next question is going to be, well, what does that add up to?
Because I didn't write them down to add them up.
So. I didn't either, but I can do a formula real fast. $88,184.50. There was two invoices that we'd paid for downstairs air quality. That's why the number went down. So the total number we've paid Aegis is $88,184.50. $2.50.
Besides being curious, why are we looking at that figure strongly?
That was brought up the last meeting.
The reason this meeting started, gentlemen, was we had written a letter to Aegis telling them to cease until they got further notice from us, any work on land use or anything like that. Of course, they were hanging on needing these zoning districts, and of course that dragged out for a long time, as you know. My question back to you was, do we give this to them? Do you feel like they have obligations to fulfill in this contract to a certain point of what's already been paid? Do you want them to proceed on? What do we want to do with this? And that was the question. Do we now give this to them and let them move on with what they were doing, or do we not? And that's why you had your executive session minute, because I just didn't know how you wanted to proceed. I don't have the authority to tell you just take these now and finish your work, or I don't know where you see them in the contract, or if they've fulfilled all their obligations, or where they see themselves in the contract, or anything like that. So that's where we're at here, just trying to decide what direction we're going to go. You know, if y'all say, sit down across the table from Aegis and get this thing hammered out, that's what we're going to do. But then you need to notify Aegis that we're ready to crank this back up and where you think they are.
Well, my thought is that we've got fairly good information to sit back down with them and say, here's where we are, and this is the direction I'm seeing that is out, is that we get possibly some part-time help, and otherwise it's going to be from staff that's already on duty, and visit with them about their contract and what they've done, and give them an opportunity to say, okay, we'd like to continue, but we see you don't want us, or here's XYZ, why you ought to let us do this, and we've done this, and we could finish up this, or just give them an opportunity to talk to us about where we go with their contract.
I think that's the only fair thing to do, is have a meeting with them instead of sitting here talking about them without them having an input. I think that's the only fair thing that you can do. And you know that I didn't agree. I agreed to the initial start of this land usage look for a, and I think it's even quoted, and it should be on the disc in the minutes, that the transportation and issues like that were of concern to me, that we might be able to use the information they brought forward for P&Z for other uses in the county, sewers, transportation, all those kind of things that were on their initial little map. But I think that it would be professional of us to have them back in to have a discussion in executive session on exactly what we're expecting from them, or whether they proceed or what. That's what I asked about this other deal. I can't buy that there's only one person in the county that can proceed with P&Z when we've got nine people that sit on a board that I hope know a little bit about it.
Well, let me say, I agree with you on it being the fair thing to do. I think we're on the same mind there, that we need to give them an opportunity to sit down with us and talk about those things.
And I've had those discussions with Mr. Tarvin, telling him, he said, what's our role going to be? And I said, I don't know. You need to sit with our commission so they can tell you where they feel you are. Y'all can have that discussion, and then we can go from there. There's many knowledgeable people in the county concerning our code book and everything like that. I know the code book very well from the way I interpreted it and the way we've passed it out over the past few years. But I don't possess all the necessary skills, not that I couldn't get them, to actually write and format it. And there's a few individuals around that do have both of those qualities. And everything that, and that's why we've discussed that somewhat. But there are people that are very knowledgeable. Now, there's people that are very knowledgeable, but they won't interpret things the same way, or they're used to doing things. This is the way we've done things, and that always clouds the way you write something or do something. You know, when we've been admonished a couple times in the last few years, by the judicial system, do exactly what your book says, and by this commission, the elected commission, you know, follow your book exactly. And so that has changed a little bit of the way things are being done, as opposed to the way things used to be done. So, you know, there are knowledgeable people about it, but, you know, to streamline the process and kind of expedite it and get it through and get it done, there's only just a couple people that come to my mind that I would feel real comfortable just sitting down and working with. But, you know, we'll work with whoever you would choose for us to work with.
Yeah, but Eddie, you know what my concerns are with this. We've had not just one. You know, I've got one that I raise Cain about all the time, but there's other changes that have been needed ever since I've been on the commission and have been discussed, and seems like the board is in agreement, the administrative department is in agreement, the commission is in agreement, but we can't get it changed. It's not changed, so the code book needs to be changed, and the wording, whether we get an attorney to write the wording where it stands up in a judicial situation, fine. I mean, but I would rather sit down with Aegis and figure this thing where they stand, so we know where we stand and where we're going to have to go.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be done first. I would agree with you on that, and because they're kind of in limbo right now and everything, and they need some direction, and that was the whole crux of this issue. You know, what are we going to do? How do we want to proceed? So that's basically where we're at. Now, Aegis at one time talked about supplying a dedicated person, you know, because they realize that the more people you get involved, the harder it is to do things also. But they too have talked about, you know, whether it be Larry, Gregory, or whoever, having a dedicated resource to get this project finished. So, you know, that's something that could be discussed with them. Now, whether that would fit within their contract scope at this particular time, I don't know.
And the only other thing I would add to that is I appreciate anybody who wants to give us dedicated resources, but we pay premium for dedicated resources too.
And we
need to have that conversation about how much money are we willing to invest toward the completion of this. Because there's two ways to go. We can pay with their rate schedules in there, which we can discuss when they're here. We also kind of understand what it would cost us to hire a temp employee to let, you know, two temp employees that would help just take down what Eddie says and, you know, get to a point where we've got the final draft and we have an engineering firm review our draft. There's multiple ways to look at it, but I just want to make sure we keep in mind if we continue with Aegis under the current contract, it goes to the hourly rate,
yes,
not a fixed rate.
I understand that, but
we need to have that conversation.
You also, Jim, you also know that what they presented in book form and we read, and our planning and zoning and this commission thought it was outrageous. Mm-hmm. And the citizens, we were afraid to present it to the citizens.
And, of course, that was done outside of our office and everything like that.
I know.
Without any
input. I know that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's important to me that we have pretty direct input on what's going on.
Right, and it was, if I understand right, that was more or less Springfield. Not Greene County, but Springfield. Yeah.
There was something about melding a couple of different code books and everything. Yes,
yeah. So I'd say let's just schedule a meeting with Aegis sometime next week or whatever, or the following week, whenever they can make an appearance and have a talk with them. And schedule for executive session.
Do you want Eddie to coordinate that then?
Yep.
Sounds good to me. Jim?
How much time do you need if I call him and get a couple dates? You have to be posted how long before?
Just 24 hours.
24 hours.
But Tuesday's full already because of the holiday. I mean, you'll have to get with the ladies upstairs and kind of see what some options.
That's the best way to go, Eddie, because they know everybody's schedule outside of the office. On county business and everything. So
I'll get right on it, which is, you know, like I say, however we choose to proceed, that's fine. We'll get it worked out. Some things are a little more comfortable from my perspective than other things. But
could you, and when you have the meeting, could you have them come prepared? I know they're under contract. They're not obligated. But would you have them prepared to tell us, well, we've got $88,000 invested?
Do you want an accounting of your assets thus far?
I would like to know. In the general conversation that we have with them, what we've received for $88,000.
Sure.
They won't come blindsided down right. And say, hey, we didn't come prepared for that.
That's a good point. Glad you made it as well. And I think I've heard you say this, Eddie. You've communicated with them some, so they won't be coming in blindsided to what we've been talking about and thinking.
That is correct.
Okay.
I have done that, so.
Great.
Okay, John, that's all, then I'll leave you and appreciate your time, and I'll get you a meeting date.
Eddie.
Thank you.
We have nuisance cases on down the line.
Yes, sir.
I had a discussion with you this morning. I would like notification of the female of that so that she might get the other part headed off.
Okay.
I don't want somebody showing up in my house. My wife is very upset right now.
You did get a copy of the letter that...
Uh-huh.
Okay. I will visit with her today, and then I'll come back and write you up a memo on that and get that to you.
Yeah, but I think contact with her will... and explain what was discussed by the county commission.
Maybe you better give us some hints what you all are talking about, because I'm not with you.
Doesn't sound like they want to do it publicly.
I'll talk about that as well.
If you'll remember the letter that I sent you.
What I even
posted
for this issue.
Yeah, well, I said later on.
10 o'clock, yeah. We got this.
Last week, I sent you a letter.
I overheard some stuff in the hallway when I was getting coffee. Why don't you, at the next break, just get Chuck filled in?
Okay.
It was based off the letters that we had issued.
I did see some letters that you sent.
Right,
you
and that's what we're talking about. So reaction to those letters that went out.
I'll be glad to catch up on it. So whenever you take a break, I'll wait till you do.
When we talk about nuisance cases, Jim said that Jillian was bringing them down. Refresh me before you run off. Dan's taking pictures. Are y'all good?
Yeah, both are taking pictures as quick as we can. The list has grown quite large.
Okay.
Again, Dan took
Are you doing more than taking pictures? Is the question I have.
In this one particular case, yes, but otherwise, no.
Okay. Thanks. All right.
Moving on.
Move on to household chemical collection facility intergovernmental agreement.
Let me take that. Mona had contacted me, and she can't make the meeting today, so she asked me if I could try to go through it. And it was an email. Attaches a memo reviewing the household chemicals collection facilities arrangement established in 2006 through the joint efforts of Taney County, Forsyth, Hollister, and Branson. A formal intergovernmental agreement is also attached for your consideration for the commission approval. Please review and let me know if you have any questions or comments. And says your cooperation over the past 4 years has provided all residents of Taney County with an option for safe disposal of household chemicals. And I look forward to working together to continue this important water quality environmental effort. So that was her note. What we've done in the past is, if you remember, the commitment we made was that we would pay based off usage of the previous year, okay? And we had committed 68% would come, Taney County would pick up, I'm sorry, what they do is whoever used it, we would pay that percent of the cost of the operation. So last year, Taney County residents used 68% of the facility, Forsyth used 5%, Hollister used 9%, and Branson used it 18%. So the 68% of the cost of the operation of that facility requires a commitment, a financial commitment.
Jim, let me ask you a question before you go any farther.
Yes, sir.
Was those levels of percentage equivalent to what we had set up the year before, because we're fixing to base our percentages off the same amounts that we show here. But was there any change? I mean, was there a great increase in the Taney County one versus?
Was last year an aberration?
And that's what I'm saying. That's,
I don't have that.
And you don't have that information?
She didn't provide that.
I reviewed, ran through that in our break, and I thought I saw something that 68% you just quoted was an average of 2006 through 2008, not necessarily last year's figure. Did I not see that right? Remember that right?
Well, it says right here, 2002-year survey. Excuse me. It was a two-year survey.
From 2006 to 2008.
8 and 9.
2008 and 9?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the reason I said that is because in my memory, and I could be wrong, we were in the 50%, 50-some-odd percent, like 2 or 4, and Branson's was a little bit higher. I know Forsyth's was higher. Forsyth's, you said 5% here. I think we had them set at 15 or 12 or 15 in previous. So that's the reason I'm wanting to know if we can go ahead. I mean, I don't see any problem with basing it off the exact numbers, because before we used previous numbers to make our evaluation.
So it's a two. Chuck, the break in the document is. I'm stand corrected once again. 2-year survey based off of 06 through 08 of usage.
Right.
And they took that usage and applied it to the 2009 cost of operation. That's why I got the numbers all goofy.
So the 68% is from 2006 to 2008 use?
Yes. Usage.
Usage and?
And the expense in 09, total expense was $10,559 is what it cost to operate the household chemical.
So just somewhat, I hear Danny's question, the question we have then, are we okay using that 2-year study and the percentages of that study to pay for the cost? Right.
I'm fine with that.
Are we comfortable with that number?
Yes, sir.
I'm comfortable with that.
I'm fine with it. I just wondered if there was a big change in it, is what I was wondering.
The only big change is the cost of operation.
Okay.
In 07, the cost was $8,130.
Now it's $10,000.
Now it's $10,000.
Okay.
And what's that attributed to?
It's cost of disposal. So the more you use it, the more it costs. I mean, that's what it comes. Because we have to... We treat it, and then we have to dispose of it in the proper way. So it's just the more it's used, the more it costs.
I make a motion to approve.
Well, let me make sure it's more than we budgeted by only $2,000. We budgeted $5,000 based off of an estimate. And so our share is $7,180. Rick, I've already met with Rick about it, and it is what it is. We have money in other departments to balance to take the money out based off of usage.
We have to, Jim. We can't have somebody going over there.
Well, we don't want them dumping them in the gutter, and we don't want them throwing them in our transfer station. This is the proper way to dispose of household chemicals. So I just wanted to let you know, money-wise, we are going to be over on that line item. But once again, we don't do line item budgeting in the county. We do by department and by budget department. So we have the money is available to pull it out at different, so we can still balance. But since we don't do line item budgeting, it shouldn't be an issue. It won't be an issue.
So the motion will be the same.
Correct.
That we approve.
Approve and sign the intergovernmental.
Yes.
I'll second that. And okay. I'll probably get you a copy of this so you have it. You can enter it into your minutes.
I need to take another peek at that if I could before we
vote.
Go. So this intergovernmental agreement is for 2010.
Yep. Is that a copy, Chuck? This is the letter. I just make sure you got everything. That's previous minutes.
Yep. This agreement is between Branson, Hollister, Forsyth, and Taney County.
It's identical to the other agreements that we've had.
Yes, it's identical.
This says whereas funding that provided the startup cost expired in January 2010 and is incumbent upon the entity of Taney County to continue support. So is this saying we're supporting for 2010, or is this a, are we committing to farther out?
I believe it's just 2010, how I read it, understood it. I didn't see him.
I believe it'll be for 1 year, just, and then we renew.
But we can't commit the county budget beyond a year. So it's a yearly, from my understanding.
As we understand, the usage was heavier than anticipated in those other years. And as we and the percentages were close, we based our percentages before off of usages mm-hmm. before. And like I said, our percentages, I think, was in the 50s of the county. So we've increased our county percentages. Mm-hmm. And that was my
right. 7.7 tons of chemicals were processed in 2009.
Item 9 here says there is a 60-day advance notification shall be provided should any party desire termination of this agreement. And I don't, and looking at this a second time here, I don't see anything it indicates except for 2010.
Right.
And I'm good with that.
Okay.
All right, we've got a motion second. Do we need... All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Do we need to make any comment? You said, Jim, that you've already talked to Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need vote or comment of where you say we don't do line item budgeting, but we do have line items in our budget,
Rick's,
and we're going to run out on the line that this is coming out of. Do we want to direct him where we wanted to take it?
Well, that, I had that meeting with him, the discussion with him. He does not want us to pull officially from other line items. He said because when we go over, then he'll make sure he budgets that much next year.
Right.
So he said leave it because we were looking at line item, I think it's 114-50-136, but that what he told Nikki in an email is that he'd rather go over in that one line item where it comes out of and leave it. So that's what he wants to go over in it and just know that we'll balance it.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I'll have to talk to him about that process. I don't know how you do that.
I don't either. But he just wants to make sure that we budget properly, and that way he wants to be over in that one line item, so it's proper expense. What is the next thing on the list?
We've got nuisance at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. I guess we have to recess again.
All right, we'll recess until 10 o'clock for nuisance cases.